Welcome to another edition of the Mexican Soccer Show. I am Weasel from FUTMEX Nation. This is an hour-long podcast day to get to all things Mexican football. With me, Adriana Terrazos in Mexico City. You know her from TUDN. Adriana, how are you doing? It is so great to talk to you, be on the pod, me and you. We haven't done this in a long time. How are you?
I know, we haven't done this in a really long time. So I'm glad we finally found the time. Traffic didn't avoid from this happening. Yes. Lots of talk. There's good stuff to talk about today, and there's not so good stuff to talk about today. So
it makes for a discussion for sure, which we didn't have to talk about. We're gonna kind of jump in. There's celebration, and there's kind of like, oh my gosh, it happened, and you'll get to hear all about that. But we're just jump right in with the big question of the night. How would you describe the season that Mr. Cracklitos Vela has had with LAFC? Adriana, since there's nobody else, you could just jump right in.
I was actually thinking you could describe it. You know how Cristiano Ronaldo, like whenever he scored like in Camp Nou or something like that, he would just like run and just like shush everybody. That's Carlos Vela right now. He's like shushing everybody. Like, you guys said I shouldn't be here in MLS. You guys said this would be a failure. You guys said I wouldn't do well. Look at me. And so I'm thinking of Carlos Vela, like, shushing everybody.
Did people really say he shouldn't do well? I'll pick at that one. Because it was mostly, and I'll play the devil's guy, because the people said, was like, hey, what are you doing there? You're too good for that league. And a lot of the people are saying, it's like, they're kind of not giving him the credit. Because he was almost top three in La Liga behind Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi at one point with Real Sociedad. Of course he should be killing it in a league that is, not as good as the MLS.
Yeah, but I mean, people were kind of thinking that it would affect him. It wasn't going to be, like, it was going to like lower his level. It wasn't going to be something that actually asked for his best performances. It was going to be like, oh, it's going to be so easy for you. It's going to make you like a worse
kind of like
player.
A Giovanni?
Kind of like Rooney?
Okay.
I mean, yeah. So I think that was it.
How many goals did Rooney score?
Because, we all knew he could do. Yeah, I mean, we all knew he could do well, but it was just like, oh, you're too good, and this is like the easy way to end your career or something. But yeah. I'm glad he shushed everybody.
I was excited, even from the very beginning, right? Looking at how many goals he was scoring in the first 10 games, in the first 15 games, and seeing, wow, he can actually be – I think it'd be awesome out of, this league that's been going on since the 90s, and that all these superstars have gone in there, right? Players that are amazing, that have won World Cups, that are an elite, status, that go to MLS. And I realize, the Rooney's, Kakas, David Villas, even Mr. Zlatan himself, who were amazing players, I would say had better careers than Carlos Vela, could not do what Carlos Vela did. And it just kind of gives you that, yes, you're right, he went to that league, but Kaká didn't do that. And look at who Kaká was, or Wayne Rooney, or David Villa, the way, people were expecting this guy to score so many goals like he did in La Liga, and he didn't do it, and Carlitos did.
Yeah, great. I mean, I think it also has to do with the fact that clubs started gaining so much more experience as the league advanced and had more years under its belt, and just started seeing that it wasn't only just bringing in a really good player and assuming that would be it. I mean, I think if you look at LAFC as a whole, you really do have a really well-rounded team. I really don't think Carlos could have done it like on his own and just be like, oh, screw it, I'm going to score some goals and despite whatever team I have. I really do think that they thought of how they constructed the team really well. And you can see that there's also great chemistry between them. Yeah. And I think that's also key for like tons of teams, because you can have a really good player, but if he doesn't get along with his teammates, it's like if he didn't exist.
Or you have on the other side of Los Angeles a player that just kind of not that he doesn't get along with his teammates, but Zlatan. I mean, I would think everyone's just kind of afraid of the guy in the way that he is. But we won't do any comparison to that. I'm happy. I put a Twitter meme, kind of a meme yesterday of Homer Simpson looking at the sky with his Mexico shirt, with his Mexico flag on, just looking at Carlos Vela, kind of sad, right? And I put that on there. That's all of us Mexican fans, because you kind of just wonder what Carlos Vela would be in the national team. And I get it. It's a topic that we keep talking about and let go. But he does this, and you're just kind of like, man, I'm happy for you, but like, we kind of need you. But I get it.
I mean, and the way he answered one of the questions at the press conference afterwards, it was kind of going on that subject. He was like, I'm not going to take any decision that has anything to do with anybody else except me mm-hmm. and my career. So again, it's like, if I don't want to go to the national team, if I want to play in the MLS, whatever I want to do with my career, it's mine. And I have no reason whatsoever to listen to what everybody else has to say, because this is my choice.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're obviously missing him, and just looking at him and break all the records and play as well as he has, it obviously stings when you look at that and you're like, damn it, we have such a good player and he won't play for the national team. It's like, I don't know, it's terrible for us. But on the other hand, I mean, yesterday his game was just a bit after Chicharito was playing with Sevilla against Barcelona. I mean, I saw so many people were screaming when Carlos Vela scored, because we were all aware of the goal. We were all aware of what was at stake. And it's just something that we haven't seen. We don't usually see, at least maybe with Chicharito or with Chucky. It's just that Vela has been so consistent with his scoring, and some of the other players they've had ups and downs. So I think that's what we appreciate even more from Vela.
Yeah. Well, think of the type of score of forwards that we do have. We don't have a type of Carlos Vela. The guy, I was looking at all his goals, they're outside the box.
Yeah.
You know, it's a guy that comes in and it's like, he's going to hit it with his left foot and curl it in on the right side of the keeper. I mean, most of the time those are his goals. Pause for laughter and joy. The fact that it was Mr. Tim Howard who took 3 goals from a Mexican player.
I had to do a story on that. I was like, oh no. I mean, the best.
It's hilarious that it's Tim Howard. I mean, when he scored that first one, he was hitting the ground. Flashbacks of Giovanni Santos 2011 for, you know, that goal, the golazo on him, just hitting the ground like, why is this happening to me? It's kind of hilarious.
When I saw it, I was like, oh my God, he's going to hate us now even more, isn't he?
And it's his last game.
It's
his last game ever. Get 3 goals, not only that, but by Carlos Vela. Oh my gosh.
I know. At first I was like, okay, Giovanni, we were already winning 3-2, but still, I mean, it was 4-2. It was like a done deal. Gold Cup final, which he eventually did win with the U.S. Mm-hmm, but at that point he did, and now his last game, and then another Mexican player comes forward and has this amazing goal. I mean, especially Carlos's second goal, like was amazing. Like the bicycle kick, that was amazing. So I was like, oh man, poor Tim Howard.
And you know those highlights of the historic season by a player? It's got the record. It's like, that's it. It's going to be Tim Howard.
Yeah.
Digressing a little bit.
Just 3.
Isn't it kind of funny how the 2 biggest goalkeepers for Mexico and U.S. just suffer? Like, yeah. I know Memo Ochoa and all the things that are happening right now. We'll talk about América Cruz Azul, right? But it's funny how you elevate them in such a status, but then it's like, man, how great they are, how Memo was in Brazil, or how Tim Howard was against Belgium in those games, right? There are some low points that you just kind of go, this sucks. Memo 7-0 or Tim Howard's 4-2, you know, or this last game, you just kind of go, no matter how high it is, there could always be a really low point. It doesn't matter. So it's kind of funny.
I think everyone would have thought it could have been that 4-2 final in 2011. Then all of a sudden, I mean, I think we were all expecting Carlos to score at least one goal.
And even I'm like, oh my gosh, two games ago, I was like, you know, you better score this one. And did. I'm like, okay, he only has one more. And then here comes Zlatan. Yeah. Now Zlatan's done.
And then also, I mean, Zlatan had scored by that point. I mean, he had a really early goal. So I was like, oh my God, what if Zlatan scores twice? Then they're going to be tied. And then Carlos is not going to know about this, because obviously no one's going to tell him, because they don't want to pressure him. So it was, everything was just
him.
Coming along.
Zlatan
like,
just scored 2. You need to score one more. That'd be hilarious.
I know, but it was just amazing. I do think, though, that LAFC kind of played to make sure that Carlos scored.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
every single ball ended up in Carlos's feet.
And even when he scored 3 goals, I'm like, I tweeted to you. I mean, I messaged you guys on our little messenger that we have. I'm like, it's minute 75. They have a playoff. Why is Carlos Vela still? He's got a high trick already. Why is he still playing?
Yeah.
Like, I get it. He already had it. He's up by 2. He's got the goal. He could get injured right now. I was a little bit like, Bob is Bob, and he didn't take him out. And I think it's mostly Carlos not wanting to come out either.
Well, the last time he did, which was probably like a month and a half ago, I remember injured. He was really, really angry when he was sent off the field.
And then he was injured for like 2 games or something. So
yeah,
I mean, there's reasons, but he was having a lot of fun. Towards the end, he was passing a little more. Even me, even I was a little selfish. If I was like, come on, why are you passing it? let's do another one. So let's make sure no one ever breaks this record, okay? Because I don't see another person. I don't know. Maybe Chicharito can come in, but the caliber that Vela is, it's good to celebrate. And I know people are mad, and who cares? It's the MLS. I don't want anything to do with him. But it's, I don't know, watching this kid since 2005 and the way that he got the Golden Boot in the U17, then going to Arsenal, and then, you know, up and down with the national team, and then in Real Sociedad. We interviewed fans in Real Sociedad, and I didn't know how much he was loved there until he left and got a chance to interview like 10 Real Sociedad fans that were crying. They're like, this guy was our guy. He was, you know, he was the guy that's going to get us to the next level. And it was like, wow. And then now, you know what he's doing at LAFC. It's phenomenal. I think it's a phenomenal career.
I was actually remembering, I once read a story of what would happen if he played like reverse. If he started off in the MLS and then went to Real Sociedad and then switched around and ended up in Arsenal, how his career would have been if the other way around. Yeah, like the other direction.
And then winning a World Cup.
And then winning a World Cup.
It's a perfect, yeah.
It's perfect.
That's a storyline right there. Genius.
By the way, I actually, like a couple hours ago when I was taking the subway, I actually saw a guy with an LAFC shirt. So
in Mexico.
In Mexico City, yeah. So if this is any proof that MLS is doing things correctly and well, is growing, I mean, you just don't see on a Monday an LAFC shirt like in the middle of Mexico City.
That's a cool
just
shirt.
Didn't happen before. It's a really cool shirt. It's an awesome shirt, yeah. But they're, I mean, usually people will buy. I mean, they're really expensive, so then people will buy like America or Cruz Azul or whatever. Especially after Cruz Azul won on the weekend, which we'll mm-hmm, talk about. Mm-hmm. But usually, those are the jerseys you're expecting to see like on a Monday. But yeah, so slowly you start seeing this MLS fever getting here. So I think it's pretty cool for MLS.
Guys, for those of you that just keep tweeting at us, like, who cares about MLS? Who guys, it's here. It's like, just embrace it. We're not saying it's going to be it's going to be an MLS show, but it's good to talk about, you know, what happened. Carlos Vela. I have to add that even before LAFC had the black and gold, I've always loved a black and gold. That 2011 shirt with Mexico on it, it was black and gold, and it has red stripes on the top. It's my favorite Mexico shirt. In fact, way before Foodmex Nation was Foodmex Nation, it was called Foodmex Source, and my logos are all black and gold. So as soon as the LAFC kind of colors come out, I'm like, dang, those are nice. So I don't have a jersey.
Random comment, by the way. You see Italy's new jersey today?
No.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's green.
What?
For the second time in its history, Italy has a green jersey. And I mean, people at Femex Food have to put like get to work.
Who
or something.
Is it?
That's
who,
a really
who is
cool
it? Is it Nike
jersey.
Or is it Adidas?
They have Puma.
Italy green jersey. I'm looking at it right now. No. Oh, here we go. Whoa. The paleta green? Is that?
It's like a Mexico flag green.
I mean, I'm looking at like this really bright green. Maybe there's something.
Oh, no.
No, it's not it?
It's darker.
Okay.
It's darker.
Okay.
And has like Renaissance, I don't know, like figures and waves and stuff like that. And the neck is kind of like dark blue.
I see it now. Oh, look at that. Kind of like golden green, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Italia.
I mean, that's come nice. On, people. We need a cool Mexico green jersey. Like, now.
I don't even think we have green jersey right now, right? We have the white.
We have the white and the black. We have everything except green.
Nice. All right.
Okay, so just random comment.
Random comment. Well, I give you the random comment about black and white. It's okay. We'll keep it going. All right. For those of you guys that are listening, how do you feel about the whole, you know, Carlos Vela? Tweet at us on the Mexican Soccer Show. Do you care? Do you not care? Is it something that you're going to go? Are you proud of it? That's the question. Are you proud that Carlos Vela did that? Or do you just go, no? Are you kind of like that bitter ex-girlfriend when, you know, your boyfriend graduates and you're like, you know what? I don't care because he's not with me anymore. Or, you know, your girlfriend, something happened.
I didn't love her that much anyway.
Yeah, I didn't love her. You know what? She left me and you just kind of bitter. You don't want to see him happy. Or do you just kind of go, you know what? We didn't work out, but I'm happy for you. Long as I have my significant other. So Ah, funny how the relationship between us Mexicans and who does what to us in the national team. Switching it over, Adriana, to the other Mexicans abroad. We'll go with Mr. Raul Jimenez, who did not score, but his highlights are everywhere on Twitter. It's like they have, I believe the Wolves has like a team that goes, whatever Raul does, speed it up slow-mo right when he does it, and then speed it up again, and it's going to be a great tweet.
Amplify,
and all of Mexico and all the Mexican American, everybody's gonna go crazy for it. It doesn't matter if he scores or not. He's looking great. Two great assists. Wolves, a historic win against a great team that nobody thought they could do it. I know they've struggled in the past, but Raul keeps on. I'm doing great up in the EPL. His team isn't doing as well, but at least this win was huge.
I think confidence-wise, I think that's what I appreciate the most from this game, because I did see Wolves kind of struggling. It seemed like as though rivals knew how to just neutralize them. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the same Wolves we saw last season, which was just amazing. So I'm really glad that slowly they're gaining confidence. And how much more confidence could you get after beating Manchester City? I mean, to be honest.
Yeah. It's true. I think somebody tweeted out like, hey, you know, why didn't he do this at Atletico Madrid? And I think he had like 5 games, you know?
Yeah.
We saw what he was doing with America. We saw what he did sometime with the national team. This shouldn't surprise you of what he's doing. He was more of a number 9 type, you know, he gets the ball in the box, you know, back against the wall, back against the porteria, and then finding a way to score. I mean, he's making runs from halfway. He's taking 2 or 3 players out and great assists. This is good for Raul, especially what's coming in his career at a perfect time in his career.
I was actually trying to remember. I think he scored against all. I think he scored against all teams, like all the bigger teams in the Premier League, except City.
Really?
I think City is the one that he's missing. But okay. I mean, it was just as good. I mean, 2 assists is pretty good.
Yeah, they're good. It was a big win, and he was a part of it because of the assists. And there, half of it was his goals. I mean, running around, and he could have done it. I mean, if he was JJ Macias, he would have scored. But you know, he's not. He's not Macias.
We only need one JJ Macias in the national team. Sometime. So you know, there you go.
Well, you gotta have that. Switch it up to Mr. Chucky Lozano, who played all 90 minutes there, getting the start and playing fully there with Napoli, who. He isn't doing what we're expecting him to do as far as scoring all these goals. But again, where Ancelotti's playing him in that type of position, almost a number 9, you would have thought he would be scoring more goals. But at the same time, he's getting that playing time, and that's all that matters, right? Or are you a little worried?
I'm starting to be a little bit worried.
Yeah.
I was actually looking into the Italian press today, and they're actually concerned, not specifically about Chucky, but about all 3 forwards that Ancelotti is putting. So it's Insigne and Mertens and Chucky. So they're starting to worry about how ineffective it is, seeing as though it is a pretty amazing attack for any team. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'll be slightly worried if they don't start getting better results like in a couple of weeks. Let's give them 2 weeks, just in case. Yeah.
I'm writing that down on our calendar to talk to you about in 2 weeks to figure out if she... I guess I didn't look at it as I'm looking at it as a selfish Mexico fan, the fact that he's playing, right? Instead of like the team needs to do well.
Maybe not scoring, but at least I mean making sure that the team does win.
Yeah, you're right. Cuz they're going to fault in and the confidence will be there. All right, well we'll come back to Mr. Chucky Lozano, we're going about. Anybody else Mexican abroad that's making weight or
I heard some rumors that Carlos Salcedo was in Olympique de Marseille's interest. So yeah. Not quite sure how formal that could be, but it was something that kind of resonated today in Mexican press. So I don't know. Let's see if any of that happens. I find it quite difficult to actually think that he'd be back in Europe or something. But yeah, who knows?
This is going to sound a little bit, but would you want him to go play in Olympics? I mean, I guess maybe you have Champions League. The league isn't as amazing as people think it is, the French league. Again, Champions League is out there, and of course to have him there and playing in that type of team, but it's not the end of the world if he doesn't go to France.
I think if he came back to Liga MX, I think there was some other like decision behind that. I mean, maybe like a family decision.
Oh yeah,
or
he's
something.
Got a bunch of weird things happening to his family.
So I don't see
too.
That happening, but it was interesting to see that he was being talked about in France. Yeah.
Maybe to do something with Mr. Gignac.
Maybe, yeah. Put in a good word for
Put
him.
Put in a good
could
word.
Could be, yeah.
Okay. Mr. Selfish. Mr. Selfie Gignac. All right. Let's switch it over to the Mexican youngsters who beat a really bad Trinidad and Tobago. We'll talk about the opponent, but I know you and Amy talked about it in our football podcast a little bit more. We'll just kind of get a high-level overview. A positive result for Mexico, especially with those youngsters attacking full force. It felt like a little bit in the first 15, 20 minutes there, nothing kind of was going in. They should have scored a little more. And then Mr. Jay Macias kind of took over. Your impression of the youngsters listening to Tata Systems answering for the Mexican national team, and who stood out for you?
First of all, what I appreciate the most is the fact that they somehow managed to get a FIFA friendly without it being an unofficial FIFA friendly. They actually managed to get a national team, disregarding some clubs actually complaining about it, especially Cufre and Atlas, saying that now he has to build his team on whatever the national team wants. So actually taking the time to have a U23, U24 team face an international rival, despite the fact that it wasn't Trinidad and Tobago's senior team either.
Yeah.
But trying to look into like giving these players minutes, getting them time to actually get to know Martino and try to make that generational change as swiftly as possible, I think. I really do appreciate that. I mean, that interest. I think that's important. I think it kind of goes with the fact that we're doing something wrong when it comes to making sure that our U20 and U17 players, who actually do pretty well when it comes to World Cups, kind of like make their way into the senior squad and make sure that they're also doing just as well. I really like Córdoba. I think he's on an amazing run. I think he's had tons of really great experience with América. I really do think América has lots to show off to other clubs because they're doing things really, really well with their young players. I mean, you see Lainez, you see Vargas, you see Córdoba. So I think something interesting is going on with América, with their youth system. I like Alan Mosso, I think, has been quite consistent as a defender. I kind of worry a bit about the goalkeeping position. I'm not quite sure about either one of the goalkeepers. Obviously, JJ Macias is just someone we're expecting to just make it to the senior squad really quickly and just stay there.
Before you kind of keep going, and I'm just kind of started thinking about this and kind of back up, and then you kind of went on and I'm listening to you, but then I'm like, hey, I got to ask you this. When you said, you know, you're surprised about the, you know, the teams letting Tata Martino and have this kind of mini camp. Why do you think that is? You know, why didn't Juan Carlos Osorio or other managers have what Tata's had? Is it because of his hierarchy and who he is and he's demanding it, or is it just kind of the FMF kind of going, if we're going to be better and we're going to try to get this generation in the gap or, you know, transition, this is what needs to happen? The combination of both?
It might be both, but I somehow feel that this is something that maybe Martino kind of like presented when he was when he was first negotiating with the FMF. It was something like, if you want me to actually do well in the Olympics, if you want us to do well in the qualifiers and the World Cup, this is what needs to happen. And I like it because it does seem like a 4-year-long program. I mean, it does seem like something that you're planning way ahead. It's not only like, oh, yeah, we'll just like keep on calling like Hector Herrera and Chicharito. And, well, if they're a bit like older in 3 years or something, we'll just see who we call up then. I think they're actually looking for, like, into the possibility that some of those players might not make it to the World Cup. So you have to start looking into younger players since now, get to know Martino, get to know what you can expect of them, have greater contact with the clubs and see how they're growing, still developing. I'd like to think that it was mostly Martino, but I think also the FMF was kind of looking into doing something with that as well, because I actually found, I was talking to a colleague about this. I think they're trying to change the youth system here. Usually right now we have a U20 tournament and a U17 tournament for all clubs. All clubs in Liga MX have to have a U20 team and a U17 team. I think they want to switch it to a U19 and a U21 team. So that's okay. It's like more European style system. So it might be because what many coaches have been complaining about, they say many players still can't just jump and make their way from a U20 when they're 21, just make it to the senior squad. Mm. There's like a step missing. So I guess this also has something to do with all those changes that they want to implement to make sure that all that talent in the youth level actually makes its way to the senior team.
Makes sense, because there is. It feels like Mexican players do great. U14, 15s, we won the, you know, Toulon and come down, and then it's kind of like that jump, right? Even, yeah. And I mean, obviously the Olympics that they won in 2012, and maybe that generation, you see those kind of filter out in the national team. But those players that were already kind of in the national team were already getting some minutes there. I think some of those players went, if I'm not mistaken, to that Copa America in Ecuador. And had that time together. And I think if you saw that documentary, the Oro documentary, those guys were together for a while and they were playing. And, but yeah, that's actually makes sense. Interesting that, you know, I think they were interviewing Tata Martino, and he's been doing a lot of interviews, which was a little odd, in fact, with like everybody.
Yeah.
He's everywhere in the last 3 days. But he kind of mentioned something that I wrote down and kind of on notes wanted to talk about is the, you know, we heard Matosas getting kind of bored with the national team jobs.
And he's not bored anymore.
Oh, no. He's got tons of work now. Right.
Yeah.
I kind of asked him about it. In fact, it was through the internet. It was a show that I was watching. And it was all like a whole hour with Tata Martino, which is amazing, just to pick his brain on what he thinks. But one of the things that he did say was he went up to, they asked him, right? You know, the day of the day things, right? What do you do? How do you keep up? Because, you know, then they brought up Matosas and the Aburrido comment. And he said that, you know, it can happen. And this is one of the reasons that he's like, you know, I have the opportunity to be with the youth. I can go to the car. I can start looking at that. I can be at some of the games, maybe not go to the games, but watch them and watch tape and all that. I honestly also kind of contribute that is that the guy wants to also keep being busy instead of just, okay, it's once every other month and you have the national team and continue that. My question is now, will he be part of that Olympic squad? Because I know obviously Lozano's there.
Yeah,
I think he will somehow.
I think he will. I think they might bring him on board like some kind of like mentor or something. Because I mean, Lozano hasn't had that much experience coaching any team, so it is kind of risky. I mean, when we've had the 2012 Olympics, you had Luis Fernando Tena, but he was assistant coach to Chepo.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, there was like a bigger figure behind him, let's say. I mean, it's obviously Tena's, it was him all the way along, but still you had someone like to talk about and just bounce around names and say, is this okay? I mean, I do think that Lozano would benefit enormously from having, I don't know, Tata somehow, yeah, like a mentor, like assistant coach, someone he could actually say, hey, does this guy seem like he's still Olympic material? Do you think he actually isn't in his best performance right now? Or I think if the FMF is doing all this specifically because they're caring so much about the youth system, I mean, you need all the help you can get. So why not call Martino?
I'm thinking he's going to go. If it's important for Martino to have that success with the youth, I know Lozano's had the team, but this is Martino's kind of, you know, when he's taking over a team, it's not just a national team, it's everything. Mm-hmm. It's like he's doing it now. Why not? Why wouldn't he want to go over there? Having talks with Lozano, this is what I want to do. This is what you can start working where I'm working with this, with the Nations League, you're working with these guys and it's kind of the same guys almost. And then here comes the Olympic qualifiers. I'll take over and you'll be there. And what great way for Lozano to also, you know, learn from this guy who's had an amazing career. And then let's say they are successful and he was there, he was just, you know, part of the coaching staff and now he's ready to take a team. So I think it'd be good. Hopefully he does.
And they're kind of overlapping because, I mean, now Martino called, like last week with Trinidad, he called out like U24 players, but you had like U23, U22, U21 players. I mean, I actually remember one of the call-ups he had for a mini camp. He had, I think it was Eugenio Pisuto, and I think he's 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he has really young players. And now coming into the Nations League, he is going to play with a 50-50 squad. I mean, like a 50% more senior squad guys and 50% guys, like younger guys that are trying to make their way into the senior squad. So yeah, maybe some of them age-wise, you could just have them for the Olympics, and then whenever that ends, they'll be joining the qualifiers for the World Cup. You can have three players that are over 23 in the Olympics. So it would be great to know Martino's like input on who do you think those players should be.
Yeah, interesting to see on who that. And I guess kind of talking about that, right? We have the Nation Leagues who just kind of sneaks up. Like I don't think anybody really looked at the calendar, and all of a sudden Trinidad and Tobago was there, and then now the Nations League with the two games that are coming up. But just kind of like you mentioned, a lot of people didn't think he was going to bring some of those Europeos. And now looking at, you know, Irving Lozano, Jesus Corona, with Juan Macias, you know, with Jesus Godinez, Alexis Vegas with Chivas. And now we're starting to see, maybe thanks to the Nations League, but players like Michael Fabian is there too, Jairo Torres, Ivan Rodriguez, Eric Aguirre, and then, you know, the Nestor Araujo, Miguel Layún. So it's you're starting to see the players all coming together. Obviously, some players that he didn't call. How are you seeing this squad coming together for the Nations League, and what do you expect?
I'm actually quite excited. I love it when new players come in. And I really do think that despite the fact that I think no one agrees with the Nations League, I mean, I think everyone thinks we were better off without it. Mm-hmm. It does bring the opportunity, especially for this to happen. I mean, Tata said it. I love the fact that he says what he thinks. He has like no problem saying things as they are. So he was like, yeah, Nations League is terrible. The fact is that we want to play against better rivals, but we are that better rival for some of the other CONCACAF nations. So it just goes to show that, yeah, we'd love to play the Netherlands all the time, but I'm pretty sure they might not want to play Mexico all the time. They want to play Spain. They want to play England. They want to play Germany.
I mean, people don't think about, like, it's like, we should play better players. You realize that people don't want to play us? Like, Mexico again?
In the U.S.?
In the U.S.? No, I mean, granted, everybody wants to play in the U.S. And in fact, I've said this before, and I get a lot of crap from it. We wouldn't be playing Argentina or Chile or Uruguay if it wasn't for playing in the U.S. Yeah. We weren't playing those teams before the SUM contract. I get it. People don't like it. Molero, it's all about money. But if you look at those teams that we played before the SUM contract, it wasn't like teams were raising their hands to come play at the Azteca or in Querétaro or Toluca. You know, it attracts better teams. And granted, maybe sometimes they don't take advantage because of the scheduling and all that, but that's another conversation altogether.
Yeah, but I mean, the way that is looking into it, he's like, okay, we have to do this. There's no way around it. Instead of calling up all those players abroad and from their European clubs and everything, just be like, never mind that. I'm going to use like these players. I already had a week working with them and start just giving them a chance with the senior squad. I mean, what better experience could these guys have than actually playing with the other guys that are playing in Europe? So I think that was really wise. I think it's somehow like looking at the glass half full and just saying we're just going to make the best out of it. And I'm actually pretty excited to see whatever that starting lineup is this Friday against Bermuda. I mean, just to see who he's considering in what positions and where he still wants that more experienced player, or where he's actually willing to take a risk and be like, okay, never mind. Instead of having Hector Herrera in the midfield, we're going to go with Jefecito Rodriguez or something like that. So I'll be interesting to see where he's actually going to take a chance playing with the younger players.
Yeah, it's how much is he going to rely on those young players, and in what positions? Is it the positions that, you know, that are older and we need some of the youngsters already start to step up, or where we're really heavy, just to see who's in that line. So interesting enough. Mexico versus Bermuda in Bermuda. And then
it's one of those.
I looked at flights. I'm not going to lie. I was looking, I'm like, all right, I'm just not going to go. It's like, it's not really
It's funny how usually when we play in CONCACAF, like especially Caribbean teams and such, the first thing we look into is how do you actually get there.
Well, I think the players are gonna be in the U.S. No.
Yeah, they're in New Jersey right now. Actually, yeah, they're already there.
They're already there. They're kind of doing there, and then they're going down to Bermuda.
Then go down to Bermuda.
And then the next game. Tuesday in the Estadio Azteca. Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah. It's actually Martino's first game at the Azteca. Yeah, isn't that weird? I mean, I feel like he's been here, like, not forever, but, like, a really long time.
Well, it was his first game. It was his first game in Mexico, in Toluca, in the Messi ODS. Yeah. I was looking at that, you know, finally, Tata Martino plays in Mexico. I'm like, you're right. He hasn't played a single game in Mexico. Granted, it's the Gold Cup and then some games, whatever. But first game in the Azteca.
Yeah, that's kind of odd. It's going to be really weird. I mean, sadly enough, it's a Tuesday. I would have loved for it to be a Friday because that way he could have done like this full stadium and stuff like that. I really don't think they'll have the best attendance.
Are you going to go to the game?
On a Tuesday. I don't think so.
There you go.
Nah, not really. I'll save that for like the U.S. or Costa Rica or something.
I think it's Tom Marshall. Mr. Tom Marshall will be there for sure. It's just in the middle of the week. I was like,
It's like a weird day. If it were a Friday, it would be amazing.
Panama, right?
Really cool. Yeah.
Panama. Okay. I was trying to think. I'm like, wait, who are we playing? All right. Well, we'll see. It's the last two games of the year, and then there are no more national teams. So for all you guys that complain that we play all these moleros and we're not going to play until next year. And since you're listening on, I'm thinking this is. No one knows. I believe we're going to have a game in January. So as soon as I get that confirmation, Mexico will already play in January. And then the next games will be in March. And then here comes the Nations League. So there's going to be a lot of games.
That'll be
year.
Really interesting. A game in January. I mean, the tournament starts off like the first week of January. It's going to be really weird to see who's willing to loan their players like really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting. So we won't have official games, but the U-17 World Cup is coming along, and they also have
that's
official
right.
list today. So Efrain Alvarez, again, we're talking about LA people.
Okay.
Efrain Alvarez is on that squad. You remember Sebastián Abreu's kid? He was also being mm-hmm. called up.
Yeah, Loco Abreu, yeah.
Yeah, but he didn't make it.
Oh.
He's not on the list, sadly enough. I was kind of excited to see Abreu Jr., the Mexican national team.
So he's playing in Mexico, huh?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Where's he playing? What team is he playing for?
I think he's playing for, is it San Luis? No, that's Turco Mohamed's kid. Turco Mohamed's against San Luis. I'm trying to remember where Abreu is. No, I think Abreu is actually in Argentina. But he has dual citizenship. That's why he was called up. Yeah. Wait, let me Google that.
Isn't Loco Abreu Uruguayo?
Yeah, he probably has all three, but yeah.
And you've got an Argentina. All right, well, we'll figure that out. All right, before we talk about Liga MX, I want to give a shout out to Amy and also right here, Miss Adriana, who had the 1 year podcast anniversary there with our football podcast a year ago, brainstorming of how this podcast come together. And I want to congratulate you, Adriana, and also Amy, who produces this show and is always, just a helping hand here with all that we do with From Football Mex Nation, also the Mexican Soccer Show, and she's a great part of the team. But also the fact that, you know, it's been a year and it kind of went back so quickly. So I definitely want to congratulate you gals for what you're doing. I don't get to listen to it as often as I want to, but you guys have something going with it. And I just wanted to congratulate you on a great year that you guys have had on the Our Football podcast.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been amazing. I mean, it's really funny how sometimes we say some things on the pod and then they end up happening.
Yeah, right. like people are listening to you. like the Federation was listening to you.
I know. So hopefully they'll keep on listening and we'll come up with even better ideas and stuff that should be happening or stuff that we hope will change sometime soon or just improve. So yeah, so thank you everybody who's been listening. It's been just amazing. And I love the fact how Amy and I, we just talk about things that we have no one else to talk about, so we kind of like rant it all out in the pod, and it goes by so quickly, and hopefully people are enjoying it.
But with that, our follow-up podcast, since we have you here, there was a historic game between Tigres Femenil and Houston Dashers, kind of like a little mini interleague that they had. First of all, how did those two teams just all of a sudden decided to play, and why?
Well, Tigres didn't have any activity this week because of the FIFA friendlies for the Women's League. So no activity for the Women's League this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Most players were called up for the national team with Christopher Cuellar, but they actually didn't call up anyone from Tigres. And so they just took advantage of having no tournament this weekend and said, hey, let's just have the first ever Liga MX versus NWSL in Mexico, because oddly enough, it was Monterrey who actually had a game last year in Texas. They played, I think it was also Houston, and they played another team. I think it was Dallas. So, but we've never had an NWSL team come down here and just play any team. So it was amazing to see that. I think it was really good. I mean, sadly, like the bad thing is, most people were watching the Tigres game during the. It was about the same time, so people were kind of looking into the men's games at that point. And you had Cruz Azul America almost at the same time, and Chivas Pumas. So probably that wasn't the best idea, but still, I think it was a great turnout for the stadium. It was a bit over 8,000 people went to the game. I was really curious because, I mean, we have no way of actually knowing how well the league over here is doing, because mm-hmm. they've never faced any other league.
Exactly.
So, I mean, we had to take into consideration NWSL has had activity. I think it's been like almost 10 years, I think. Liga MX is only its fifth tournament so far. We have mostly U24 players. We have no foreign players. So things that make it quite different. So it was great to actually have someone to compare it to.
Yeah.
I think it went quite well. I was happy with Tigres because this is like an institution that has been so amazing with the Liga MX Femenil. They have an amazing roster. They're the powerhouse of Liga MX. So it was actually great to have probably one of your top three teams represent the league against a club from another league.
And how did it go as far as the game?
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
I think Houston was actually a lot better in the starting, specifically in the first half. But I mean, if you look at Tigres, I think they took advantage of the fact that they were the home team. I think they kind of gradually grew into the game and had a better performance going into the second half. And it was great to see players like Lisbeth Ovalle, like Katy Martinez, face players from Houston Dash that have had international experience, U.S. national team experience. That was really great. I think it was an overall success. I just hope that more teams try to make that connection with other clubs and other leagues and start inviting them and also traveling. I mean, it would be great to see them also travel to the U.S. More often.
And, of course, with something that's so great... it's like the news that comes out. It wasn't a historic match between two different, you know, nations. What ruled the news was a picture of a fan when a Houston Dash player, right, came in and took a selfie with a fan, and you just see this fan grabbing, as we all can see, the chest of the player, and everyone kind of just talking about that as we should, but it just kind of goes to show, like, just here's something good. And then what ruled? Some idiot fan who try to be whatever, you know, taking a picture. And then there's so many people there grabbing the chest of the player, and you just kind of see it, and it just kind of makes you sad because that's what came out of all of it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Tigres won 2-1 instead of talking specifically about this and how much the league has grown and the players and how much it means to have that historical first match in Mexico. We're all talking about this situation. I mean, I haven't seen anything that Sofia Huerta has published. She was a player that was sadly involved in this situation. Dash has been, I mean, also, they haven't published anything. They haven't asked about anything, despite all this, I was quite happy with the way Tigres reacted, because after that picture became viral in social media and everyone was looking at it and just saying how disgusting it was and how angry we all are, Tigres came forward and said, okay, whoever can identify this person, this pseudo fan, because he's not even a fan anymore, he's not considered a fan, please come forward. They gave a telephone number where you can send information through WhatsApp, and just that fan won't be allowed into any games at all. Men, women, any of the club facilities, he'll be banned for life.
Yeah.
And they'll also proceed legally. They're looking into doing something legally. So, I mean, I'm really happy they came forward with that. Some other clubs actually congratulated on that. I saw Querétaro saying, this is what we should do, and hopefully this will never happen again, but we're really happy that you guys are taking this stand. So, yeah.
Unfortunate, you know, but it just kind of goes to shows. And guys that are listening on this, you know, it's the very first thing that when you kind of see that, and not to take so much to talk about it, but it's something that we got to mention. You know, you look at the Twitter comments and it's like, well, it could be that, hey, you know, it was a mistake because he was looking at the camera and he grabbed their chest. Or, you know, he didn't, you know, it was just, again, a mistake, or he slid his hand, or it was at the complete spot where he was maybe moving it. And granted that that could be it, let's just give him the benefit of the doubt that he didn't know, which is, come on, every guy knows where that's at, even if you're looking at the picture. But I kind of asked Adriana, and I kind of looked at this, where, why did he have to grab anyways? It's like, that's the culture that we're at, right? Like, we need to eliminate that he could just put his face and click, and the camera clicked and the selfie's there. But no, he had to grab the player in front of him. And even if it was the waist, I think it was still uncalled for. If the picture depicted something, even if his hand was down a little bit further and looking at his waist, it's still not right to grab a player like that. And I think that's where we got to consider, where us guys don't think about that. And you know, you women and ladies that are listening, you go through that all the time. And I'm glad that teams are going and stepping up and saying, regardless of if it's intention, it's still wrong. You shouldn't grab players like that. We see, you know, women and female journalists, right? When they're talking and they're in the streets, guys coming up and hugging them or kissing them. It's this culture that we have that we have. And I'm glad it's being public. It's sad, but we have to mention, and it's sad that came out.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't put everything to waste, but it kind of feels that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because we're not talking about the game at all, almost. So, I mean, sad. I hope whatever happens, it never happens again. Because again, it just comes to show that what was a really good effort from the clubs to have this game, to have some like really amazing opportunity for both sides to meet and face each other. It's like kind of overturned because of what we're talking about, this because of some sick person that thought this was okay.
This was okay. All right. Well, anyways, we'll continue to call it a win. Hopefully it happens more often. Hopefully we see that. I mean, it was televised, the excitement's there. People were there, and hopefully it continues to grow and there are more of these types of matches between two teams. And who knows, rivalries will start, right? And people will start to get into it and get to know other players. And then, you know, that's how the sport grows. So I think it'd be awesome. Switching along, coming along in our final segments, we obviously have to talk about Liga MX in a crazy weekend that we had, in especially at least one game in particular, where America and Cruz Azul faced each other. And I was watching the game, but I was also kind of doing some work, and I'm like, okay, it's your normal game. Okay, America's going to win. Oh, wow, Cruz Azul scored. Oh, wow, America came back. And it was just a crazy of a game after that red card, from people blaming Ochoa somehow to Mr. Piojo and what he said to the árbitros, and now his 3-game suspension and his apology. I mean, it couldn't be a more crazy week at Liga MX. But one thing we gotta say is congratulations to Cruz Azul fans. Congratulations to you guys, because finally, I think the term Cruz Azuliada is kind of just in the background. I'm not saying it's gonna go away, but hey, I gotta clap. Hey, you won. I really thought that Cruz Azul fans were gonna kind of wake up and be like, oh, this is all a dream. But to you, Adriana, America, Cruz Azul, an entertaining game. I'm not a fan of either. So for me, it was fun watching. I wanted more goals. I wanted to see where it went. But I thought it was a good game.
I thought it was amazing. I mean, just remembering that a week ago, America beat Chivas 4-1. Yeah. They had the whole Giovanni incident. And then a week later, we get this crazy 5-2 win for Cruz Azul. Which, by the way, they had never scored 5 goals against America.
Never, ever in history, huh?
Never, never. It just didn't seem. I mean, who honestly bet on Cruz Azul this weekend? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, America just came in as a way stronger team. I mean, the squad, Siboldi still kind of trying to make his way with Cruz Azul. And then, I mean, at first I saw Cata Dominguez's goal, and I was like, oh wow, that was really quick. I mean, maybe they'll get like a draw or something. And then, like, 4 minutes, America gets 2 goals.
Two goals in 5 minutes. It's typical.
We're back to normal.
Typical.
Yeah, back to normal, yeah. And then again, you have all these goals, oh, Cruz Azul, being Cruz Azul and everything. And then that second half, that was just crazy. I mean, Roger Martinez was sent off. And then you've got Aguilar, Alvarado, and Orbelin getting those goals with Cabecita at the end. That was just, I mean, that was just crazy. I mean, nowhere in anybody's dreams could that have happened. I mean, Cruz Azul is not this team that you remember by coming back from losing 2-1 and winning anybody 3-2 or 4-3 or whatever. So I was really amazed. I'm happy for Cruz Azul. It seems that they're psyched as well because they're actually going back to practice until Thursday. So they got like 4 days off. That's pretty cool for them. It kind of makes us, I mean, I saw many people talking about, well, maybe Cruz Azul will make it to the Liguilla. I think it's kind of soon to actually assume that still. I mean, I don't want to like take away any credit, but it does seem more like this game was an accident more than something that was actually going to happen.
It's a good way to, you know, obviously with the coach changing and, I wouldn't say Cruz Azul is, well, I guess not back from that season where they were, you know, the leader and what they've had to struggle. That's why there's a coach changing and all that's happening inside Cruz Azul and all the offices and everything. But it's positive. It's huge because this is what can get you the change for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. Right. And, It's powerful. You believe in yourself. Players believe in themselves. Look what we did to a good America team. Granted, I think America beat themselves. I think that I have not seen the defense. It's just horrendous of what happened. And obviously, being one man, just kind of everybody in America just kind of let go after that game. They just couldn't allow it. And then, obviously, all those goals. So I'm kind of with you there. I have not said this is Cruz Azul is back. I do have to point out that at the beginning of the season, when we all did our little who you think is going to win, what's first coach is going to be taken out, the surprise team of the season, I put Cruz Azul. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, I did. I'm like, Cruz Azul is going to surprise us. Watch. So I'll continue to keep that as a win for me. But it's already a surprise that they're able to do that. But yeah. Interesting enough, Liga MX is going to Liga MX. And it's going to surprise you no matter what weekend it is. And another result, everybody's hoping for Veracruz to finally win, right, after so many games. And then in the 85th minute, León ties it up in a way where you'd have never thought. The shortest player, I don't know if he's the shortest player or not, but Chapito Montes.
One of the shortest players.
Heading the ball over Cruz Azul. And it just goes to show what is happening. I mean, over Veracruz. Just kind of goes to show what is happening there. So it's like I said, Liga MX is going to Liga MX. It's going to be surprising. And nothing goes as planned.
I mean, I have to be honest. I actually put Veracruz winning, not this weekend, but last week against Toluca. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of psyched that they went into the 91st minute and they were winning. I was like, oh my God, it's happening. I am a genius. And then that goal came in 93rd minute by Toluca, 17-year-old guy, first goal in Liga MX. I was like, oh yeah, that's Veracruz's luck. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Never mind. And then the same thing happens with León. I mean, again, you were winning a game. And again, in the final 10 minutes, you lose it. I mean, I remember Sebastián Jurado going off the field 2 weeks ago crying. I mean, he's so desperate to get that win. And it really is frustrating because he really is the team's best player. But he's also the one you kind of think about the most whenever you have this amazing losing streak. So it's just amazing for Veracruz. They face Tigres this weekend, so doesn't look like that streak's going to end anytime soon. But they do face Chivas at the end of the season, and I'm really sad to say it does seem like that's their best possibility yet. They face Puebla in a couple of weeks as well. That could be it. I mean, it's 3 weeks from now they face Puebla, so maybe Puebla, maybe.
Oh, gosh, Veracruz.
Yeah.
So the streak is what, 30?
I think it's 37 by now. I mean, I actually need to count. I lost count after 35, I think it was, or something. I think we all did. We were kind of expecting it to make it to the year. And then after that, we were like, oh, okay, it's been a year already. So, yeah, whatever.
All right. What else in Liga MX that made news? Not a lot of people are talking about
it. Sadly, not enough Chivas, but yeah.
Well, okay. Didn't get a lot of the list. Okay, question. Who is the top Mexican scorer of the league right now?
Oh, is it Alan Pulido?
It's Alan Pulido.
Yeah, I was I remember hearing something about that. It sounded almost like a joke.
You know, for a guy that everyone just jokes, that he doesn't take serious, that he's there, that he talks too much, he's not a good player, there isn't a Mexican striker better than him in the league.
No, I mean, it's amazing, and it's kind of like ridiculous how his best moment with Chivas comes at the team's worst moment. So I don't know if it's because of that. I don't know if it's just like cruel irony. I mean, Chivas is in such a delicate position right now. I mean, if it weren't for Veracruz, I mean, Chivas is the next team to face relegation. So, I mean, it's just terrible to think that a team as Chivas that is known for creating really good young players, it had such an amazing youth system that was actually the base of the national team for so many years. And now you're depending on Alan Pulido, who, yes, you bought from Tigres, coming in from Greece, finally having a really good season. But it's Chivas's like worst season. Well, one of Chivas's worst seasons in like the last 3 years.
Well, since the title, right? Since the championship.
Yeah, since the championship. Yeah. So it's just so frustrating because, especially when you see how well some of the players are doing once they left Chivas. I mean, Macias is like obviously the one we look at most, and you're like, man, we let that player go, really? And then you look into Pizarro, and maybe you look into Saldívar, and you start looking at Cota, and you're like, damn, I mean, what were we thinking? Where did all these things go wrong? I mean, you have these really good players, and you all let them go.
Mm-hmm. There wasn't a loss. They had not, they're down a man. You know, it's just positives. Alan Pulido scoring. I mean, it's
that's about it. Boys. Oh, yeah, well,
You're usually crying, Adriana. Like, you're just like, I can't take it anymore. Another loss.
It's horrible.
Like, this, you should just look at this. This is a little bit
positive.
You know
what the thing is? They don't really have that terrible. I mean, you look at the squad. They never do. It's a good squad.
They never do. I've never looked at the Chivas team going, dude, it's because their players suck. They always have really good players.
Yeah. That's even more frustrating. You have, like, other teams that have, like, worse squads, and they do better.
you got a coach.
I mean, it's not like, with all due respect to Querétaro, but Querétaro has been doing like way better this season.
The Querétaros, the Monarcas, the Necaxas, I put them at these teams where, cause I don't know that many fans on them, and it's fine. Like, even Puebla out there, right? Like, they do have, they do great for in the middle of the season, and everyone's talking about them, and none of them make it, like rarely. Yeah. You know, Necaxa, Monarcas. Puebla, Querétaro. When's the last time they won? All of them. Like,
yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. So you have those, right? Then you have, like, you know, Santos, León, Tijuana. Who? Hey, they could become. It could be a winning season for them, and maybe not Club Tijuana anymore, but they could, right?
Yeah, I mean, it could happen. Yeah.
And then you have like the really bad ones, like the Atlas and the Veracruz. I mean, put San Luis in there, but whatever. And then you just have the depressing ones who are... go ahead.
You know what's really funny? How all these rumors started coming up saying that they're going to sell the team at the beginning of next year. And then Amaury Vergara had to post a tweet saying, don't believe the rumors. Any information you need is right here. Like, if it was like one of those signs you put on the lawn when you're selling a house. And he did that, like, with a sign in front of the Akron. And he tweeted that out. And then people were actually tweeting him, no, but please reconsider. Please, do sell the team.
That's funny. All right. Well, next week, I guess Monterrey, Guadalajara would be probably the best game. So Puebla, Atlas. I'm just going to keep that as that's a Friday. Santos and Tijuana on Friday. Veracruz, Tigres, which... oh my gosh, Veracruz, get ready. If Veracruz wins, oh my gosh, this is where like Liga MX is Liga MX. Watch Veracruz somehow win this match. That'd be hilarious.
That would be hilarious.
We'll see what Cruz Azul has after a win against Monarcas. Pachuca and Juarez will play on Saturday at 5 p.m. Pacific. Necaxa, Club America, the suspension of Mr. Piojo, and see if they can buy they can bounce back. You have León Pumas to continue to see where León was going. And they keep tying. There's no wins. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how that goes. Atlético San Luis, Querétaro. And on Sunday, the last game, which everyone's going to be looking at, Guadalajara and Monterrey. I'm actually picking Guadalajara to win.
I was actually counting how many losses Veracruz has. I think they're up to 39.
A los 40 se pierde la cuenta, es lo que dijo mi abuelita.
It's Tigres, so no.
Watch.
You
and I will jump on a little quick pod
if Veracruz wins.
Just be like, there we go. What did we think about? All right, guys, that is our show. We had a lot of topics going exactly an hour. There's 20 seconds here on the timer that's telling us that we have an hour. So, Adrian, I want to thank you one more time. We don't get to hear you here on the Mexican Soccer Show. I know you are doing an excellent job there at TUDN. You're working a ton. When we're talking about your schedules, it takes you like an hour, all the subway, traveling all of Mexico City, and you're doing all this great work with TUDN. So it's just awesome to have you and give you the time here on the Mexican Soccer Show. I want to thank you for continuing to be a part of it. And
We'll make it happen more often, I promise.
I'll switch
some things around. We'll make it happen.
We'll make sure. The cool thing is that you guys don't have is that we have a great chat with Adriana and Tom and Cesar and Amy. If there's anything that comes out of this, it's the fact that we are all talking about soccer and all these topics on our own. So hopefully that gets published because it's hilarious. But that's, if anything positive comes out. So Adriana, thank you so much for joining us. For all of you guys, continue to, obviously, if it's retweet and like any of the content we have with Mexican Soccer Show, and send us your questions and tell us where you're listening from. If you've made it this far of the pod, where are you listening from? We'll see who's the fan that's listening to. I know we have some in Australia and New Zealand. So if you're listening outside of the US, Mexico, Australia, New Zealand, let us know where you're listening from, because I know there's some people that listen to us all over the world. Adriana, again, thank you. And we'll be back next week with the Mexican Soccer Show. We'll show who's on it. And again, thanks again to Amy for putting it all together and producing it and putting it up. Hasta la próxima.
Bye.